الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. السورة يدنون سورة الانشراح لتس شين راحة شرح means to explain something, to open up something. Normally a person needs an explanation when it's confused. So he says, give me a sharah. Sharah means a commentary. Explain this thing to me, I can't understand. When the word sharah is used for the heart, the chest, a person is having a heart attack. His heart surgeon says that there's a blockage. So I need to open up the block. That opening the block is sharah of the qalb. And it is when that heart opens up, suddenly what that man couldn't do, he got life in it. There wasn't things coming, blood wasn't coming. So nothing in the world was working right, nothing in the body, because that one artery was blocked. One artery. If that doctor managed to open it up, everything in the body starts working. Then he had sharah of what is called the outside qalb, the outside heart. For every person, Allah Ta'ala has created the normal pumping heart. And then there is what is called the inside heart. This is the heart which Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always spoke about. He never bothered about that which was known by doctors, that which was known by the masters of the body, because that was their field. He spoke about that which no one's eye could ever go to. No doctor ever spoke about nafs. He spoke about nafs. That there is a certain crave within man. Everyone knew it. That there are certain times when I just get irritated, angry. Everyone knew it. But no hakim could ever put his hand on the pulse and say your nafs is out of control. He could tell you your sugar levels are too high. Allah's Nabi would not come and speak about the sugar level, because he left it for that doctor. Now and then he would indicate, Allah put shifa in this, Allah put shifa in that. He left it. But then he started speaking where that man couldn't see. He couldn't see nafs. No doctor could pick up nafs. Hazrat Maulana Abraham al-Haqsa, he had a murid. The murid had to go for an operation. He was a very jokey murid. So when the doctor said, I have to do this for you and that for you, then normally they tell that now you must sign that if I die, I don't hold you responsible. At least that's one thing that no sheikh ever tells you to do. That sign that if you die in the khanka, game over. Yeah, you go to the hospital, first thing they tell you, you might die. So he said, I need to make mashwara. He said, mashwara. Mashwara, he understood. With who? Like another doctor. So he said, no, my spiritual doctor. So that doctor was a little modern, so he said, I never ever heard of a spiritual doctor. Like, what's a spiritual doctor? So he was a jokey person, there were a few doctors standing there. He said, you come. He said, he asked me a very nice question, what's a spiritual doctor? You ever heard of it? Heard of spiritual, what? They never heard. He said, see, I never ever knew I got sugar in my body. Sugar. I always knew sugar is outside. When I met you people, you all told me my sugar levels are too high. I said, what I can't see, you all can see, sugar levels. He said, but I also got anger. He said, but none of your tests pick up how much anger I got. But I got the anger. How I got sugar, I got anger. So then he mentioned a few other examples. That you all said I got this. Cholesterol. I don't know what cholesterol I said. But there's something else I also got. You can't begin. So he says, just how I submitted in front of you because of your tests. And I don't question any of the results. any of the things. I don't trust him. He says, but I also know I've got other things happening within me which you don't know about. Then they all get quiet. He says, my spiritual doctor, when he sees my eyes, he understands sometimes I've got a problem. When he sees how I'm reading my salah and I look that way, play with my toes, play with my hands, he says, my friend, learn, be calm, take it easy. You can't just wait, take it easy. He said, I've got a problem. When he sees the manner I drive, sometimes I drive too slow, sometimes I drive too fast. When he sees the manner I talk, and especially the manner I scream when I'm angry, then the doctor will just say, don't scream, you'll have a heart attack. But he picks up something else. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard two people arguing outside. He wasn't going to ask them, what you arguing about? He said, I know a phrase that if they read it, what they are going through now will disappear. He said, they must read, A'udhu billah minash shaytan rajim. I enter in the protection of Allah from the devil. Because it's the devil that's making me hot, making me angry. And he said, can't you see how red is getting here? Red is getting, there's fire within me. Fire. The devil is blowing. So the spiritual doctor will pick up what the normal doctor can't. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us something else. Where the doctor said, I'll open up your arteries. I'll get you good blood flow. Then you will live very well. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us something called, I'll open up your heart. That doctor also said, I'll open up your heart. He said, you'll live very well. The Nabi of Allah said, you'll live very well. But one said, you'll live very well until you die. And the other one said, you'll live very well even after you die. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is known as sharh as-salah. That to be able to open up this heart, and everything flows. This is known as Suratul Inshirah. The surah that speaks about the condition of the heart of a believer. Because you see, you only appreciate health when you visit a hospital. You only appreciate health when you visit a hospital. When you see one man who has a block in the artery, and how he's suffering in the ICU, then when you walk out, if you don't, something is wrong. When you walk out, you say, I thank you, O Allah, you saved me from what you put him through. He got machines in the hands, he got machines running in his body, he wants to go out, the doctor says, no, stay. No one wants to stay in the hospital. As you walk out, you say, Allah, I thank you. Why, when you saw the condition of a person who got a blocked artery, blocked heart, and what it made him go through after that. A day will come where every one of us, will be able to see the condition of those people whose heart was closed from Iman. On that day, the thanks of Almighty Allah will come out from the heart. Come out from the heart. It will start in the grave. It will be on the plains of Qiyamah. The fire of Jahannam will be pulled. People will then say, believer, disbeliever, separate. Just on that one sentence, separate. Where young people will become old. On that day you will understand the value of a heart that opened up to the gift of Iman. Sometimes you will meet your doctor who saved your life. That operation, he did it right in the last minute. The flow came, the family thanks him, you thank him. Every time you see him, you say, doctor, if it wasn't for you, I'll be in the grave. A day will come where the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will run to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They will then understand what was the doctor of the heart. Man on that day will say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi hadana lihada. I thank you, O Allah, you showed me this path. Wama kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. Had you not shown us, I would never have found it. This is going to be Sharh al-Sadr. No gift like Sharh al-Sadr. We will try to explain, but it gets bigger. When you open up something, then you have levels of openings. But at least one, we won't be standing here if you don't have level one. Level one was when the heart opened up for the gift of Iman. This itself is a gift which we will never understand. Me and you in the world, we understand what is known as material gifts. So in the beginning of Quran, Allah Ta'ala speaks about material gifts. He says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, whatever your condition is, think of the gift I have given. Ya ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum. That Allah who created you, isn't it only right to worship Him? But normally me and you, you never think of your father and look at your father and you say, you know, me and your mother, we brought you in the world. So listen to us. Children are such that they say, Daddy, Mommy, that happened long time. So Allah Ta'ala says, okay, long time I created you, long time. But let's speak about now. الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا. That Allah who made for you the earth like a lovely carpet. Firash. You have to understand it now, like, how you give the example. You see, in the past people never had mattresses like ours. They would sleep on their firash. So it's a carpet. But the carpet, what it does is it makes the ground comfortable for you. Under the carpet they had chairs, not like our house, we've got carpets. We live in a funny world. They put a carpet on sand and slept on it. We put carpet and on top of it we put a bed. They slept on the carpet. We already got the carpet. So we say, carpet is not comfortable, I need a bed. They in the past had to come and ask us, then what's the carpet for? They put the carpet so that they could be protected from the ground. We came to a level where first we made sure there's no ground. So we laid it out. The man put that cement. Then he put a tile. Then he put a carpet. Then he put the base. Then he put the mattress. It's just Allah's kindness. There's a roof in the house. Otherwise you carry on to high, high, high. They used to sleep on firash. So they would understand this much better than us. What the firash does, under the firash there are insects. Because you got the sand under. If you had to sleep on the sand directly, that insect at night, because it only comes out at night, it will come out from the ground and because your body is touching it, it will bite you. Allah Ta'ala said, how that firash looks after you when you're sleeping? He says, when you're walking on the ground in the world. So we won't understand that also because we don't ever walk on sand. We only walk on carpet. But in the past, people walked on sand. And Alhamdulillah, today again the movement has started. There's an entire science of how much of medical benefit comes to a person if he walks barefooted on the earth. It is known as the science of connect to the earth. Don't know if you ever heard of this before. Connect to the earth, they say when you do electricity in your house, you have to make sure you are well earthed. There has to be something that's taking it back into the earth. Then they speak about the amount of rays that are around us in the world. Because of the telephone, cell phone, computers. Now all of that becomes like poison when it enters into the body. The only two ways you can get it out of your body. One is cupping. And cupping, it's amazing that during the journey of Mi'raj, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I don't know why, but on every stage the angels who met me, They said, O Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell your ummah to use cupping. Tell your ummah to use cupping. As I mentioned, doctors were left, you carry on giving injections. Something happened in the heavens where they said, tell your ummah to stay with cupping. One friend who researches a lot in medicine and the Western medical world and the system before that, after so much of research, one day he said to me that from the era of technology, from the era where the people started hearing of sicknesses which they had never heard before, from the era where cancer became like the sickness of the town, the family. It's like everyone's worry, well, I get cancer, you getting. He said, in the era where people are getting diseases because of technology, he said, I have not found a medicine more suitable for the era than the medicine of cupping. That it just opens up that and the thing comes out of it. It is something me and you again must look at. When we speak about Sunnah, when I will mention to you about Quran, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hardly bother about medicine because you, the doctor, you know that. But it seemed there were going to be some things that even the doctor was not going to know about. Or they would make him forget about. So he said, tell your ummah they must not leave cupping. What the angels had to do with cupping? They were running no hospital. For them it was a spiritual thing. Cupping and connecting to the earth. Connecting to the earth means there has to be times where without a shoe, without a sock, my bare foot walks on, not my tiles, not my carpet, it walks on sand, it walks on grass, at least my neck. One friend sent me an article about the man who wrote the benefit of putting the leg on the ground. Then he said that the more parts of the body that touch basic bare ground, the more amazing ability of the body to push out poison. After I read the article, the person next to me, I told him that imagine a Muslim once a day reads one salah on the grass. His legs will touch when he's in qiyam. His knees will touch. His hands will touch. His nose will touch. His forehead will touch. He'll place his entire body on the ground for two or four rakats. I say, this man can connect more than that man who's doing his exercises half an hour a day. In the past, salah was not read on carpets. That is why when the first carpet came to the masjid, there was an ikhtilaf of the ulama. Is salah allowed on a carpet or not? You can understand that now. Because I'm telling you now, first thing you're asking me is jaiz. So it is jaiz. I made some boys read salah on the grass. First thing they did, they took out their scarf and they threw it on the grass. Why? Because I got sinus. You have to have sinus because you never ever put your nose in the grass. From the time you were born, you were in an air-conditioned, good oxygen environment. So you never touch grass. Whereas a small child is supposed to live in the grass. If he lives in the grass, he can't have sinus. But because his mummy loved him so much, that even if dust came in his nostrils, immediately she could eat her and figure out that you are my pure child. If a boy doesn't touch the ground, the dust looks dusty, but it kills all germs. And the lovely carpet looks clean, but it holds for germs. Understood this? Let's do it again. The lovely carpet looks clean. Proof of it is, I also suffer from sinus. Now you wonder, how come I'm suffering? I also can't put my head in the grass, because I never ever started. Now we started doing it. Now the sinus is coming out. How I know your carpet got dust is because I'm very sensitive to dust. So if I enter a house which hasn't been cleaned for a while, the next day I'm sneezing at anything. I pick up the dust. Lot of dust in this room. Lot of dust. So we bought one vacuum cleaner, which is much, much more powerful than the normal vacuum cleaner. Because they say that normal vacuum cleaner just makes noise. But those heavy germs and heavy dust mites, they don't go out. They don't go out. They say you need this one. The fact that you need this one, who's going to invest in this one? Who's going to invest? So what one person says, no, me, when I come to the masjid, masjid got too much of dust. So I take my scarf and I put it down. The scarf got so much dust also. Because scarf is in your pocket. So now you will say, dust got the most dust. No. Because if a man dies and you bury him in the ground, what happens? The ground has the ability to kill all the germs. And no smell comes out. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ummah, you were taught at the past, when they would make istinja, they would make it with clots of mud. Clots of mud is not toilet paper. Toilet paper just rubs away dirt, but it doesn't kill any germ. Toilet paper puts germs in. Toilet paper. That is why some people use so much toilet paper. We tell them use little and water, please. Water kills germs. Toilet paper sits in the toilet. Because it's sitting in the toilet, it becomes friends with the germs of the toilet. It's sitting there all day. When you're not there, the germs obviously need the toilet paper. So they will sit on the toilet. Now you go toilet, you take the toilet paper, and you put it by that entry point of your body, which germs supposed to never reach. How much of sickness then goes up? That is why we say use less toilet paper and more water. But clots of mud, they have within them such a thing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a dog drinks from your glass. You have to wash the glass. He says, wash it 3 times. He said, wash it 7 times. He said, on the 8th time, throw a little sand on it. On the 8th time, throw some sand on it. Sand makes it dirty. Today they have studied that in the saliva of the dog, there are sometimes those germs that even normal water does not kill. But sand kills it. Sand kills it. Now and then, put your head in the dust. Put your head in the dust. Or at least if we can't do it, it's time that our children start doing it. Let them play outside in the dust. Let them play. So why I'm saying this now to you is to show what we see is sometimes not the reality. So we see a clean carpet, but it got all the dust. And we see a dirty outside, but it got all cleanliness. What a world upside down. After Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, the first nation that was destroyed is the nation of Ad. So Ad, when they reached the level of disobedience, for 3 years, Allah Ta'ala did not send rain. 3 years of drought, now you want the drought to come to an end. So when Nuh alayhi salam's floods, the Kaaba was lifted. But the area was known as Jiyad. In that area somewhere, by these mountains, the Kaaba once was. So whenever these people had problems, you go to the Kaaba, meaning the area of the Kaaba, you stand there, you lift up your hands, you make dua. So the people now, after 3 years of drought, select 70 people. The leader of them is known as Qayl bin Anis. A person comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a delegation. So he says, you know, me, I don't want to be like the delegation of Ad. I ask Allah's protection. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks him that, what delegation of Ad are you speaking about? He says, O Nabi of Allah, you don't know. Then, عَلَى الْخَبِيرِ سَقَتَّ. He says, today you met someone who will tell you the story. This is a unique narration. Where always they would ask Allah's Nabi, what happens? Here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking him, you tell me what happens. He said, عَلَى الْخَبِيرِ سَقَتَّ, I'll tell you of Ad. So 70 of them were sent. The leader is Qayl bin Anis. Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah narrates. On the way, they stop off at a place on the way of Muawiyah bin Bakr. So Muawiyah bin Bakr hosts them, 70 men. To host 70 men is no easy thing. But he got liquor for them and he got 2 slave girls. And now because they are hearing singing at night, dancing, liquor, day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, they're not leaving him. So first day he said, my friends, second day, my friends, third day, friends, fourth day, friends, when are you going? Friends, don't want to go. In the past, you will have what is called shuyukh, who are frauds. You always get a sheikh who is a fraud, meaning you just have to make Allah, 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 and someone will come and tell you, Hazrat, can you write a ta'weez for me? So you write something, he don't know what you wrote, you don't know what you wrote. He goes there, someone gets better, suddenly next day he comes to you, Hazrat, can I do anything for you? A new sheikh. So in every country you have those mashayikh who are frauds. So one sheikh who's a fraud reached by his murid. And he looked in the murid's backyard and he saw 21 chickens. So he told a few people with him, we are staying here for 21 days. This murid will continue cut. Day 1 he was so happy, he told his wife, Sheikh came, chicken. But next day when he's asking, Sheikh, how are you? Very well. Sheikh, where are you going? Nowhere. Chicken, second day chicken, third day chicken, fourth day chicken. Now he doesn't know what to do. So he starts crying one day in the majlis. Sheikh looks at him shocked. He says, why are you crying? He says, the thought came to me last night that Sheikh will never ever come back to me. So the Sheikh looks, he says, you're looking after us so well, why mustn't we come back? He says, Hazrat, if you don't go, how are you going to come back? You have to go first. First you walk out. So he's not going. Muawiyah bin Bakr is saying, 70 people. So he tells his slave girl, tonight when you're singing your nazm, then you must sing about the people of Ad. You must say, how we enjoying life here, but they are suffering so badly. We are drinking here and they got no water. And say it so many times that they must remember why the people send them. So he composed for her the words, we enjoying this. Now as they're hearing that they're also moving, then one of them realized, hey, our people. So after that, they said, hey, you know, actually we got some work, that's why we came. Hey, lucky you remembered. He said, no, we're actually on the way to the Kaaba. So he said, and make dua for me also. And I looked after you so long. Now they come to the Kaaba. There's no Kaaba there, but they got the area. Qayl makes his dua. So he says, oh Allah, I have not come because I got a sick person with me and he needs cure. We all have it. He says, I haven't come to tell you that there is someone captive by the enemy and we need you to free him. He says, we all very powerful. Ard were like monsters. Huge in size, monsters. They oppressed everyone else. He says, problem is, oh Allah, water. So he says, if ma kunta musqi, that whatever you want to give me to drink, give me now. See how they spoke. As though I'm the boss, whatever you want to give me to drink, you want to give me coke, give me something to drink. And he says, and don't forget Muawiyah. Because Muawiyah told him that, make dua for me. He said, don't forget Muawiyah. When you're sending for us, you know, he looked after us. How they spoke to Allah. They were bosses. So then he says, they heard a sound. Three clouds started coming to them. He tells Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the scholars write, the first cloud was white. Second cloud was red and the third cloud was black. And then they heard a sound in the cloud saying, Ikhtar, Ihdahunna, you choose which one you want. He looks at the white cloud and he says, white cloud hardly got anything. Then he looks at the red cloud. Red normally had that heavy stormy winds. He said, black is what we're looking for. Full of water, full of water. No mashwara, no istikhara. That's the one I want. That's the one. Because many a time when you see the outside, so the outside looked like a rain cloud. But in a world of deception, sometimes the rain cloud doesn't have rain. In a world of deception. The rain cloud sometimes doesn't have rain within it. Without any thought, you say, I want this one. So take it and go. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Rihun fiha azabun aleem. Tudammiru kulla shayin bi amri rabbiha. It started, it came with the winds. Ma tadharu min shayin atat alayhi illa ja'alathu karramim. It never leaves anything except game over. It just started. Sab'ata layal wa thamaniyata ayyam. 7 nights, 8 days winds. Each one of them was like a monster with the wind of Allah. And they even mention in the narration that they mention that Almighty Allah, O told the angel, open up the door of my wind for so much. Halaqa means like that, a ring. The thing around the ring is known as halaqa. So you know what the ring is. You know how small the ring is. That's why it sits on the finger. The thing that goes around the finger is called the halaqa. On top, the expensive part is called the stone. The thing around which holds the ring is called halaqa. Halaqa is like so small. So small. The biggest perhaps the world has seen after the floods of Nuh alayhi salam were the nation of Ad. Monsters. And Almighty Allah's door of wind opens so much. Halaqa. 7 nights and 8 days and not one was left standing. Everything. But what they taught us? They taught us that this world, sometimes the white cloud which looked empty had everything. And the black cloud which looked full had nothing. Rihun aqim. Aqim in Arabic means barren. Rihun aqim means a wind that had no good. Empty of good. Remember this. Now you'll understand when this verse starts, Alam nashrah allaka sadrak. So we were mentioning outside gifts of Allah, firash. Allah says, you want material gifts, I want you to think about this. That when you sleep at night, no insect comes because firash. When you walk on the ground, there's many insects inside. But Allah has told them, during the day my servant walks, you're staying. You will see at night they come out. They come out from inside the ground. But while we walk, they don't come out. Second, a firash, it sits on the ground so nicely that when you lie on it, at night, it don't move. That's why I told you we won't understand this. Because we grew up with what is called mattress. Mattress, you lie on the mattress. And then the mattress goes with you. No matter how hard they say, that is why the most expensive mattress, they say, is the firmest mattress. Then you ask the man that what's more firmer than this mattress? He says, the ground. He says, I can pay zero rand on the ground and get more firm. I must pay 5,000 to get firm. But because we all grew up, friends who had back problems, the doctor, the hakim told them, sleep on the floor and your problem will go. Very hard. Very hard. As long as you're not married, at least, then fine. We have some students in our madrasa, we force them on mattress. At night they go on back to the ground. They are like born for the ground. They will not sleep on a mattress. Can't sleep. Allah make all our children in us. But one day I can only say for children, I can't say make all of us like that, because so far I only met one friend who after getting married, it's one of two. You were sleeping years in Darul Room on the floor, and then you marry an apa who was in the other Darul Room. They both are on the floor. Or both go on the bed. Or you like my one friend. He took me in his room, but he said, you can use my room tonight. I entered the room, there's a single bed. I said, aren't you married? He said, yeah, my wife sleeps on the bed, I sleep on the floor. I said, you one of a kind. Never thought I'd see a man there. He sleeps on the floor. But at least our children, what Maulana mentioned, we see a future for Islam coming. A future that maybe me and you will not be masters in that because we grew up weak. But to make our children a new generation, a generation that walks on the bare ground, a generation that sleeps on the ground, a generation that knows how to have a bath with cold water, a generation that can use a weapon from a young age, a generation that starts exercises on a very young age, not only building muscle, not having to pump, living with your normal body and able to exercise. A generation that learns wrestling when they're young, horse riding when they're young, swimming when they're young. A generation who we tell him sleep on the mattress, he says, no way, I sleep on the floor. If me and you could not get it, at least make dua. And the last one, a generation who when they hear Quran, they can understand what the Imam is reading, because me and you can't understand. At least if we can't get it, give our children the chance. Because they have to be the future generation of Islam. And in that generation, everyone is a man of Quran. And everyone, when the tents of Iman will be put up, you can't expect your son to be phoning Takealot and say, you deliver here in the desert, I need this mattress. He'll have to learn to sleep on the floor. And at that moment he can't say, mommy, there's no hot water. He'll have to learn how to take a ghusl in cold water. But don't think that day when it happens, you'll just understand it. If we can't get our children right now, imagine if one day they're in the army of the Mahdi, and when he looks at them, they're sneezing. He says, what's wrong? He says, sinus. It's sinus. What's sinus? He asked the other, what's sinus? He never heard about it. He says, dust. He says, we live in the dust. We eat in the dust. You are allergic to dust. Where do you live? Our children cannot be allergic to dust. At least so much. Let the child grow up in the dust. Let the child learn a weapon. Firash, the second one, he doesn't move like a mattress. Allah Ta'ala says, I made the earth like that. That when you move on the earth, do you see that movement? You don't. The only thing we see here is potholes. That's where you see your car going. But when we walk, how Allah kept it? Firash. So that's benefits that go to the believer and the disbeliever. This surah says, Alam. Alam nashra. To understand this is like a father who sometimes says to his son, when the son says, Daddy, why you gave my cousin 500 rand? It was Eid, but you never gave me 500. Sometimes a child says, isn't it? There's a son and there's a nephew. The nephew got no father. So it's Eid day. So the father takes out 500 and gives the nephew. So the son says, Daddy, you gave him 500, you never gave me. And that's when the father in the car says, my son, didn't I give you a bed to sleep on? He got no bed. Don't I give you clothes every few weeks? He got no clothing. Don't you have a father to take you every day in madrasa school? He got no father. This is the alam. Don't you? Didn't I give you this? And you're looking at 500. This is this alam. Alam Nashra is going to say, O people of Iman, you might see what Allah is doing to the disbeliever. And sometimes you say, Allah, you gave him 500. But you never give me. Never give me. The angel said, O Allah, I asked you this because it amazed me. There was a man who left no door of sin. But when the time of his demise came, he had a desire for a certain fish. Arrangements were made to get that fish. It came in a most miraculous manner. The man bought it. It came home. They made it. He ate it. He smiled. His final wish, and he died. He said, then there was a servant of yours, O Allah. He just looked at the water. He really wanted the water. The thirst was grabbing him. He moved his hand to the water. It was right there. And because of the pain of death, he moved his hand and he hit the glass. He hit the glass turned. And even that little water which was right there fell. He looked at that water dripping, he really wanted water. And he died in that state of pain. But they say his last wish of water was not fulfilled. The angel said, O Allah, I'm amazed at you. Allah Tabarakullah said to the angel, that was a disbeliever. That was a disbeliever. But the disbeliever had still done some good. And I was going to pay him for full in this world, so that nothing remains for him in the yard. I gave him his wish. He says, that was the believer. The believer still had some dust, some dirt on his body. I wanted to sort his affairs out in this world, so I don't have to sort him out in the yard. Drop the water. Look at it and die in pain, because after this there's no pain. This is a world where we see something and we say, why? Alam nashrah laka sadrak. He's saying, oh my servant, did I not open up your chest? Meaning that this believer's heart I never opened. So he sees Iman in front. They saw the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi in front. They knew the truth. They even said, we will oppose him till the end. We look in the world and sometimes we wonder that the zalim is still smiling and the mazloom is crying. And then we say, where's the justice, O Allah? Alam nashrah laka sadrak. That the one who is being bombed, Allah says, I open their hearts for Iman. And the one who is bombing, I close their hearts. I did it. The people of Gaza, you will never find them complain about Allah. It's amazing. They not complain. But sometimes when we travel, we'll see a Muslim, me, you, we asking the question, why is Allah not helping them? But if you go ask them, why is Allah not helping you? They will say, Astaghfirullah, Allah's help is with us. They never question Allah.
Amazing, we questioning Allah for them.
Alam nashrah laka sadr, Allah says, did I not open their chest?
One person drops a bomb, the one dropping the bomb goes in the fire. And the one who the bomb drops on goes in Jannah. They happily accepting it. They cry on the death of the family. And in that night they say, I thank you Allah. You let my son die as a martyr. You made him maqtool, killed and in Jannah. Instead of being the qatil in the fire, the killer. So that's them. But let's come to me and you now. We got no bombs for him. We got no bombs. That is why a lot of people like Taweez. So a Taweez for depression. A Taweez for depression is Surah Alam Nashrah. Taweez. But people when they hear Taweez, what they hear? Oh, okay, how? Can you write for me, Mana Alam Nashrah? Write it, and then I put it in my water, and then I put it on a plate, and I put soji on it and I eat it. I ate Alam Nashrah. The next day he comes and he says, the soji was sweet but my sugar went up and now I'm in hospital. The Taweez never worked. We want the Taweez to eat, a Taweez to drink, a Taweez to hang. Surah Alam Nashrah is a Taweez where Allah Tabarakala speaks like how that father speaks to the child. That my child, you're looking at the 500 to your cousin. Look at the 5 million that's being pumped into you. Alam nashrah. That's the Taweez of Quran. But that is why you have to know the meaning of Quran. You have to know it. Because the surah is saying, oh my servant, didn't I open your heart to Iman? But the man reading it doesn't know what the question is. So he's reading Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak, Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak, Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak. 11 then. Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak, Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak. After 11 he's finished the surah. And immediately he complains. Immediately he says, hey, again that thing never work. He says, you never read Alam Nashrah 11 times. He says, I read it 22 times. But he never answered the question one time. Where Allah said, oh my servant, did I not open your heart to Iman? He only needed to read it one time. And he's supposed to think about it that indeed, in a world of millions, and in a nation from Adam alayhi salam of billions, Allah only opened the hearts of a few people to Iman. And I got lucky to be one of them. There and there he'll sit and say, I'm crying for the 500. I'm crying for the 500. Where Allah opened my chest for Iman. Alam nashrah. Did we not open up your chest for Iman? Alam nashrah laka sadrak. Wa wada'na anka wizrak. Alladhi anqada dhahrak. It has a lot of explanations, but the easiest translation. And we removed from you that weight which would have broken your back. Which weight? The weight of kufr, the weight of shirk. Allah said, I remove that. Because if you had to die with this weight, you'd enter the grave and you will live dead. You will stand on the day of Qiyamah, you will be living dead. You will stand by the scales and it will be said, we won't even wait for you because you got no weight. Weight, 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 meaning heavy, heavy, heavy. Allah says, I remove that from you. Now imagine that man who reads the surah, and he says, I got too much tension. Too much, that's what he says, too much weight on my shoulder. And you tell him, read the surah. Where Allah Tabarakallah says, didn't I remove the weight from your shoulders? وَوَضَعَنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ. Then he looks at his shoulders and he doesn't find the weight of kufr. Then he says, oh Allah, you made it so light for me. But to understand Quran, I'm only asking you to remember this too. Alam nashrah laka sadrak. Did I not open for you your heart?
أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ and I remove from you the weight of kufr and shirk. Then comes the end of the surah. فَإِنَّمَا عَلْ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. This again you have to understand Arabic and you have to understand how the word works. فَإِنَّ indeed مَعَ وَدْ الْعُسْرِ. Usr means difficulty. That alif lam that comes at the beginning, alhamdu, al-usr. That alif lam normally means, like you say, ja'a rajulun, a man came, a man. He's not known. Then when you say, that man said, you will now say, faqala ar-rajul. You put an alif lam, which means that man said. So as long as he hasn't got alif lam, he got a tanween. Rajulun, yusrun, it means unknown. Once you put the alif lam, it means known. I hope you understood this. One is unknown, one is known. Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ مَعَا الْأُسْرِ. Indeed with the difficulty which you know about. Al-usr. The one you know about. Because we all know our problems. Indeed, what the difficulty you know about. Someone comes to you, how are you feeling? You only came because you know you're not feeling well. Hey, I'm not well, you know, I got this sickness. She got the sickness, wife got it, husband got it, someone got it. The business, those are al-usr. The difficulty you know. Allah Ta'ala says, remember, with every difficulty you know about, there is yusran. Yusran means there is ease that you are unaware of. There is ease that you are unaware of. Meaning so much ease is happening around us, but we're not seeing it. It says, whatever the difficulty you are aware of, yusran, there is that hidden ease. See, sometimes we have to look for it. Sometimes you have to look. And when you look, you will say, Allah has been very kind. Very kind. Because everything around me is easy. It's only this one thing difficult. Everything around me is easy. But how the surah starts, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. That you reading Quran. How are you reading Quran? Because I opened up your heart for iman. Came over. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ. So when you become tired with the issues of this world, that's what the man comes home and he says, give me a panado. And then again we go back to understand. See, this is the doctors. Give me a panado. We grew up with this panado. May Allah make it our children never have to see panado. They must learn cupping from a young age. One friend we invited into the madrasa to teach the boys about cupping. So I asked him that, can't you give us some incidents about how cupping helped? First I asked the boys, how many of you cupped? Very few. Ask, how many of you ever heard of cupping? Majority never heard of cupping. Never heard of cupping. Ask, how many of you heard of panado? Everyone has heard of this. Everyone knows panado. No one knows cupping. So I said, give them an incident. So he said, I'll give you my life story. He said, me, because of sports, during the days when you have to prepare for the season, you live on a lot of extra tablets to keep your body moving on that high level, because it's not season. To keep you prepared, keep you prepared. But that tablet is eating you from within, finishing you up. So he explained what the tablet then did to his mind, because of which he needed to live on what we call high level medication. And whenever level took away the headaches a few months ago, stopped working and he needed to go higher. Until he met one person and he said, let me cup for you.
And he said, that night he slept so nicely. First time in his life he heard of kapi. The next day when he went to tell the person, that was like nice, it felt nice. So the man said, that this is sunnah. He said, you're joking. Because he knew sunnah muakkada of fajr and zohar. He knew sunnah fasting in Ramadan, farz, and then sunnah after. He knew sunnahs. He knew sunnahs of wudu. He went to maktab. The sunnah of this, sunnah of that, sunnah. Best sunnah he knew, sunnah of nikah. And nikah, umin sunnah. That every child says, daddy, I want to practice on one sunnah. And nikah. He never ever heard cupping is a sunnah. So he says when he went into it, so he's telling the boys, in my family now, no child, no one in the family will ever use the word, give me a banana. Never ever. Soon as the headache comes, you will cup. Game over. Now, if I mentioned that, I don't know. I said, when we come home, we normally say, give me the panado. I'm fed up. Fed up with what? With the world. So what we do, we take a panado and we jump on the bed. And we sleep. Allah Ta'ala says, you want your problems to really go out of your life. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ. When the world made you tired, فَانْصَبْ. Now make yourself tired in front of Allah. The world made me and you tired, but at the end of the day, it left us exhausted. It left us with tension. It left us with depression. It left us with anger. It left us with worry. And how many hours? You say from 7 to 7. 7 days a week, I work and I work and I work for this world like a dog. Allah Ta'ala says, it's making you so tired, so many hours. He says, I ask you now, make yourself tired for your Allah. How long? فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْهُ. I want you to read even 2 rakats. And read it whatever is easy for you. Just make yourself tired for Allah. Make yourself tired for Allah for only 7 minutes. After 7 hours of the world. The world 7 hours. You work for it and it left you tired. You work for it, it left you worried. You work for it, it left you depressed. 7 minutes with Allah. You will sleep tired. Allah says, make yourself tired for me. After that 7 minutes, Allah will give you so much of happiness, so much of comfort, so much of enjoyment. The world 7 hours couldn't give anything. Allah 7 minutes gives everything. Says, وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ. If you want to show your inclination, show it to your Allah. Show it. Me and you must find the answer to our tension in Quran. The answer to our tension in Salah. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu. Fajr time, he's sitting, they say to him, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. After Fajr, you can't read Salat and sunrise. You wait for Ishraq. But immediately he stood up, because he's understanding. He stood up, he read 2 rakats. Normally you won't do it, you'll do it after. But he read 2 rakats. Someone said to him, you can't read Salah, nafal Salah in this time. He said, did Allah's Nabi not mention? When a calamity hits, immediately resort to Salah. He says, what greater calamity than the demise of the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I find patience in Salah. I find patience in Salah. Immediately on, 2 rakats. Allah give it. One place we heard someone passed away. As soon as the news reached, before the auntie could scream, she said, Allahu Akbar. Now you can't scream. She read 2 rakats of Salah. And after the Salah, she said, what happened? And she was normal till the end. No. 2 rakats of Salah.
When normally I'm reading Salah, someone passes, what? Just finish Allahu Akbar. Now all that pain, ila rabbika farghab, turn to your Allah. Few minutes make yourself tired, and Allah says, we'll take out all tiredness from you. All worry from you, all tension from you. But we have to do it that. Alam nashrah laka sadra. Didn't I open your heart for iman? Read the surah and say, Allah, you opened it. Didn't I remove weights from your shoulders? You say, Allah, you removed it. But I got a problem. Inna ma'al usri. But this problem you're noticing, yusra, and there's a lot of ease you're not noticing. Is it not like that, my slave? Say, Allah, I correct it. Then finally Allah says, so I'll tell you what to do. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ. When you become finished and tired with the world, you fought enough with them. But when you come home, make yourself tired with me also. One so. And I'll sort of all your problems. May Allah Tabarakala let us find the solutions to all our problems in Quran. Quran and in Salah. The people of Gaza, they are people of Quran. Allah will make it that the day will come when the world will see. A world which was bombed to the ground will just come up again. And people will wonder how Allah gave life to this. And you'll visit them and you'll hear the stories of Iman. Stories of Iman. And when you will ask what kept you so solid, they will say Al-Quran. Quran. Bombs falling on them. Quran. Me and you, we only got mosquitoes falling. Mosquitoes. Our problems are too small, too small. But the amount of tension that exists in our communities, it's an amazing thing. Maybe because we are not yet connected with Quran, like how we're supposed to be connected. May Allah Tabarakala allow that connection. As we said, prepare our future generations for a new world. Because that new world is starting, and it's starting very fast. The Gaza war is the beginning of an Islamic revolution. Our children will be in the front lines of that revolution. At that time, however, the one who has Quran, he will remain faithful because of Quran. It is the one that doesn't understand Quran that they will make a lot of mistakes in decisions. Allah allow all of us to make the right decisions. Allah Tabarakala in His kindness bless every one of us with shahada in His path. Martyrdom in His path. Allah Tabarakala grant us a gift that if we on the battlefield, we die moving towards the enemy. We don't die running away from the enemy. Nabi Sansan dua us, and I must not die running from the enemy. Muqbilan, facing the enemy. May Allah Tabarakala grant us bravery, Allah save us from cowardice. May Allah Tabarakala allow us to understand Quran, to enjoy Quran, to be a person of Quran, to be from the family of Quran. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in, wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.